Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Take a Shot with Mem Joy Emma. I am your girl, your host, Mem Joy Emma. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening to today's episode. I hope you're listening with some love, some joy, some hope, some peace. If you are not, well, then you already know the drill. I am sending that your way right about now. Well, hello. Hey, y'all. Happy day, whenever you're listening to this, whatever day of the week it is, whatever time of the day it is, I hope that you're having a lovely, wonderful, magnificent day. I am excited to be sharing with you another episode. And today I actually wanted to share some thoughts about singleness. This was on my heart. You know, I woke up with this a couple of days ago and this was on my heart. So I wanted to share some thoughts about singleness with you that, I don't know, some things that I've learned along the way and have been helpful to me. And I hope that it's helpful to you as well. Specifically, I want to talk about the topic of singleness, and I want to talk about just embracing your singleness in your 30s, what that looks like, right? Some reasons that you may be single and how you can embrace being single in your 30s, because I feel like this is still a topic. And as somebody that's single and in my 30s, I've learned so much and I'm learning so much. And I thought, why not come on here and share that? So that's exactly what I want to do today. Now, I do want to give a disclaimer, y'all. I do want to give a disclaimer. Before I begin, listen. If you listen to this and you're like, oh, that's not necessarily true, or that doesn't necessarily apply to my life, cool. It doesn't apply to you. It's not for you. Rock on and move on, okay? I do understand that, you know, we're all in different seasons, and I'm not speaking to everybody. I can't be speaking to every single 30-year-old on the planet, because God is doing different things in our lives. So if you listen to this and you're like, oh, that doesn't apply to me, learn to skip it, you know, hopefully come back to another episode that blesses you, or, you know, find something else that speaks more to you. Okay. Okay. So with that being said, oh, also, whatever you are listening to, whatever, you know, influencer you may be listening to, even message, whatever you're listening to, look, this is your life, right? Your life, your responsibility. Like, you are responsible for you. You are no longer a child. You are a grown person, okay? Responsible for yourself, okay? So when you hear a message, it is your responsibility to decide what you want to receive and what you don't want to receive. Now, if this is something that, you know, you hear and you're like, okay, this could be for me, I'm not sure, take it to God in prayer. Or even if it is for you, take it to God in prayer. Learn, y'all, to take things to God in prayer. Never, ever come on this wild, wild west of the internet and listen to some stranger, you know, say things and then just receive it and have that be a part of your thinking or thought process without going to God about it first. You know what I'm saying? Like, always, 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 always pray about things. And I feel like this is a whole nother conversation. I'm gonna come back to the main topic, but I just gotta go here for a second. I feel like that's why we get so, or some of us get so distraught or let down when we find out that an influencer that we've been listening to for years and years and years and years, you know, does something, you know, lets us down, or we find out their message isn't always gelling with who they are. It's like, even if it's a sermon at a church on Sunday, learn to take the word and that you hear on a Sunday morning, learn to take that word, even when it applies to you, or if it doesn't, learn to take it and pray about it and go read it for yourself, right? Because I found so many times when I'm in church and or when I'm listening to a message or when I'm reading a book, whether it's a religious or non-religious, whatever, if anything speaks to me and I feel like I can apply it to my life, it don't got to be some deep prayer, but I just, you know, go to God for a second and I talk it out with God like I'm talking it out with a friend. Like I am, the prayer is just talking to God, right? And so I process it out with God, like, God, what does that mean? Or God, I feel like this, you know, literally like talk it out with God and go back to your Bible, you know, go pull up your, easy for me is I just right then and there, I just pull up my Bible app and I'll just, God, it says this and, you know, and I'll just walk it through with God and pray for wisdom and ask him, you know, God, what did you think about this? I feel, you know, and just walk it out with God, you know, but never, ever take something and just apply it to your life at face value and just apply, you know, like take it to God. And you never know, God may add to what he's saying. He may give you more insight, more understanding. He may, you know, take you to a deeper level with whatever you're hearing. Or he may say, like, that's not the season that you're in. You know, you may think something is for you and he may say, nope, that's not the season that you're in. You know, you're not in that season. But learn to take things to God. Learn to take things to God, especially on this internet. You are responsible for your life, your journey, and don't be lazy about, you know, somebody is gone and they sought God or had some personal development and they're sharing what they know. And that's beautiful, but this is your life now, you know, take it back to God and pray about it. And you know, look at what they're saying, research what they're saying, and then look for ways to apply it to your own life. That's how you grow from that. That's how you take what somebody has taught you, apply it, you grow from that. It sticks to you, become a part of your life, and then you're able to pass it on. You know what I'm saying? This is how we bring change. I hope that made sense, but I had to put that in there because I felt like we needed that. But anyway, with that being said, I'm going to talk about embracing your singleness and, you know, some of the reasons why maybe some of us may still be single and how we can embrace our singleness in our 30s. Because we know, you know, in our society, being single and being in your 30s is like a taboo. It's like you're not supposed to do that. Culturally, even for a lot of cultures, it's like, whoa, you're 30 and you're singles. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And people automatically put this thing on you and you have to learn how to look at your journey and look at your life and look at what God is doing in your life and really know the season that you're in and be able to assess and know, like, because again, back to this is your life, right? This is your life, your responsibility, your walk, right? And nobody, you know, and I don't care how close they are, close family and friends, relatives, whatever, strangers, whatever, you know, they may even mean well, but at the end of the day, when you go to bed, it's you and you. You and God, that's it, you know? And so you just want to know, like, if the singleness is the season that you're in, no amount of pressure from anybody, you know, should rush you into doing something that God has clearly said is not time or just hasn't happened for you yet. And so I wanted to share some of my thoughts about it. And, you know, so let's get into it. Okay. So I've shared about this previously on this channel when I talk about contentment. I talked about how in the past, when I was single in my 20s, I would hear a lot people say, so you should be content. You should be content. Contentment is basically you should be satisfied. You should be satisfied, at peace with where you are. And I didn't quite understand that because I couldn't understand, well, how can I have this desire for something with this, you know, real desire for something, but still be content? Like, how does one get to a place of contentment? Can desire and contentment live in the same space? Can I still be content while still having some difficult moments? I mean, you know, these are questions that I had that nobody was answering. Everybody was just saying, be content, be content. And I've done an episode on this, but I did just want to reshare or restate that, like, being content is a decision. It's not a feeling, right? I'm a feeler. I feel a lot. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. And so I've had to learn how to, like, stabilize myself and, you know, ground myself, right? And contentment is one of those things where it's like, despite how I feel, I'm going to situate myself in what I know, right? I'm going to situate myself in what I know, which is God is good. God has good plans for me. He knows the desires of my heart, and there's no good thing that he will withhold from me. I know that God, you know, God has given me the greatest gift of all, which is salvation. That's the biggest gift he could ever give us. He gave us himself, right? He came and died for our sins so that we could spend eternity with him. That is the greatest gift. If God can give us the greatest gift, which is himself, how much more is he going to give us, right? So if God can give that great gift, a husband, that's nothing for him to do. But also, I am on a journey, right? And my life and my journey does not look the same as everybody else's. And sometimes the people closest to us don't always understand that or know that, right? I don't care how close you are with your family or how, they may not understand or know the journey God is taking you on. And so that falls on you to know, like, hey, I trust God. I'm not going to be moved by anybody at this point. I'm not going to go out of my way to make things happen. I'm not going to live dissatisfied and live my life, you know, angry at God because things haven't happened on my timetable, or be angry at God because things haven't happened according to society standards. No, I am going to be at peace with God and with the journey that he has me on. I am going to trust him that without a shadow of a doubt, if it is his will and his time, he will reveal and do and exceed my wildest expectation. That's contentment. Like, that is, I choose God, I trust God, and that's it for me. Now, it is not saying that I don't have, come on now, you're a human being, you have feelings, right? It's not saying that I don't have feelings. It's not saying that you know, you can't date. It's not saying any of that. But it's also saying, at the end of the day, I'm choosing to be at peace, right? If there are nights when it's hard for me, I allow those. I'm a human being. I allow myself to be human. But even in those moments, I take it to God. You know, I take it to God and I say, God, I'm feeling some type of way today. And you know, we talk, and this is, you know, we talk about having a relationship with God, like the Spirit of God, we call him Comforter, right? He's our Comforter. And so we can go to the Spirit of God and we can say, Holy Spirit, I need some comfort tonight, because I'm feeling a little bit sad that, you know, this hasn't happened yet. I'm feeling a little bit lonely tonight. God, help me in this situation. Like, God, what does the Bible say? I look up to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Help in any situation comes from God. And so whatever I may be struggling with in that moment, I can go to God and say, God, I need help right now. I'm struggling. Whatever we need, God is able, you know, to take our burden and give us peace in that moment. As we entrust over to him our burdens, as we give over our needs, our wants, whatever, he's able to keep our mind in perfect peace, you know. And so, yeah, contentment is a choice. It's a choice. It's a daily decision. It's a daily decision of I choose God. I choose to trust God. And when those feelings come of grief or questioning, I take those to God and I come back to what I know. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I ask or think. I trust him and I trust God to bring to me at the right time, you know. I trust God to order my steps and I'm at peace with where I am. I choose to be. I will no longer allow myself because I can't. Some of us are like going through the emotional roller coaster of just sadness, which is giving an open door for the enemy to come in and question, like, how good can God be if the one thing that you've always wanted, everybody around you has that thing, but you don't. And then you sit there and you rehearse that in your mind. All of a sudden you come in agreement with the enemy by saying, yeah, you know, how good can God be? Everybody around me is getting married. Everybody around me has kids, even people younger than me, even, and you know what I'm saying? You gotta make a decision. I believe God. God has been too good for me to doubt him in this area because I don't have it when I would like to. I surrender my life to him and I trust him with my life. Period. Okay. And so, you know, there's that, you know, I'm not leaning on my own understanding. In all of my ways, you know, I am acknowledging him and he will show me the path to take. He will guide my path. He will guide my way every day. I trust him. I believe him, you know, all of that. Like I surrender to him. I trade my burden for his. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. All of it. I give it over to God and I am choosing. And sometimes it's a daily choice. Some days may be harder than others. So some day it may be an hour by hour choice. Some days may just be rough and you may just be like, I need to take a nap. Or whatever the case may be. Do whatever you need to do, but just come back to this place of like, I believe God. And I'm not going to allow the enemy bully me and bully my mind into thinking that God is not good when clearly his track record of everything else he's ever done for me is good. Like, let's not do that. Let's not do that. We know better. Let's not do that. Choose to be at peace. And if you need help, again, who do we go to for help? Ask God, God, help me in this area. Help me to choose you to be at peace with this. And that's that. And then that leads us into my second point, which is get intimate with God for real. I find a lot of us really may know religion, right? We may know a set of rules, a set of traditions that we've upheld, right? We know God, we were aware of him, but we don't really like know him. And God is like, I want to be known. I want you to know that I am like right there with you, beside you. I'm real. Like the things that you don't tell anybody that you think about, I know. The prayers that you think that I did not hear, I've heard them. The tears you thought that you cried that you thought I could not see, I saw them. The pain that you went through that you thought I could not feel, I felt them. I cried with you. And God wants to be known on a deeper level. And he wants you to know like he is real, you know, and wants you to have a real intimate, personal relationship with him where you don't always wonder, how are they hearing God? What does it feel like to hear God every day? Like those thoughts that you have, like, what does it feel like to hear God every day? Why people keep saying they hear God every day? How do they hear God every day? Like, does he like talk to them? Like, what does that sound like? Do they like hear a voice in their head? That kind of sound like crazy to me. He wants to actually show you like, actually, you hear me too. You just don't know that you're hearing me. And so he wants to show you. He wants to teach you how to hear his voice. All those things, those questions that you have, he wants to answer them. He wants a real relationship with you. So use this time to get intimate with God, okay? And use this opportunity, those questions that you have about God, why am I still single? Ask him, God, why am I still single now? Is there anything wrong? Those questions that you have, is something wrong with me? Why am I still single? Ask him those questions. Like, am I not attractive enough? What is it, Lord? Ask him. He wants to answer those. He has an answer for you, and he wants to answer those, and he's waiting for you to ask him. That's intimacy, y'all. Like, think about any relationship you have, right? You talk to that person all the time. You tell that, I mean, you're comfortable telling that person your most intimate thoughts. I mean, your most things that you wouldn't necessarily tell everybody else or trust everybody else with. You trust that person with. You enjoy being with that person. Even when y'all are saying, talk about nothing really at all, you just like being around that person. That's really how it is with God. Like, it really is. It's not that deep. I feel like maybe we've overcomplicated it, but it's really not that deep. Like, I mean, I talk to God all the time. Like the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing just means talking to God all the time. And as you talk to him and as you read your Bible, you get familiar with his voice. And so you talk to him and he talks back to you and you learn to hear what is his voice. And you learn to hear the different ways that he's answering you. You know, sometimes it may be you ask him a question at one part of your day and he may answer you right then and there, or you may be reading a Bible verse at night and all of a sudden it clicks. It's like, that's the answer to the question I asked you earlier today. Or you watch a TV show and you just, oh, that's the answer, or whatever. Like, God speaks and he wants to show you that he can speak to you in a variety of different ways that is specific to you. You know, and so like use this time to like really get to know God for real and really get intimate with him. It's really not hard. I promise you, God is not as complicated as we have made him seem. He's real. Like, I mean, he's real accessible. It's real easy. Every day, like, just I be talking about the movies I watch sometimes. Like, I just be like, you see, God, I will pause the TV. I will pause it. Like, see, that's what I'm talking about. I will talk to God, and he will, and I know I can feel, I can sense him. So I know I'm really talking to him, and that's it's real. Like, I don't feel like I'm crazy or talking to nobody, because I know I'm not. I know God is with me. So I know I'm really having a conversation with the Spirit of God right then and there. And so that's real and that's available. And that's what God wants for you. So get intimate with God, like get to know him for real. And then also a book that has really, really helped me. This book honestly changed my life, and it changed my life. It changed my perspective on how real God is. Hold on for a second. I'm about to go get it. I forgot it. I'm about to go get it. So hold on. This book right here is called Beautiful Outlaw by John Eldridge. This is my favorite book. This right here is my favorite book of all time. It's called Beautiful Outlaw by John Eldridge. And it is, the description of it is experiencing the playful, disruptive, extravagant personality of Jesus. If you're trying to like I said, how I was talking about, like how Jesus is a real person. And sometimes we don't realize it, because I mean, think about the way that we talk about him, big, you know, sky daddy. Like, nah, like, I mean, he's with us. He's real. And this book right here is my favorite book because it changed my life. It showed me Jesus in a very authentic and real way. And so, I mean, this is a great place to start. I used to have, they were doing a promotion one time, like, of like, they're probably not doing it anymore, but they were doing a promotion. The author was doing a promotion where he was like, you could get a certain number of books, and I would just pass this book out to anyone because it's changed my life that much. So if you can get this book, it is called Beautiful Outlaw by John Eldridge, and it just talks about Jesus in a real authentic way where you really, I mean, it shows you the real personality of Jesus in a way that I have never, you know, heard of heard described before. So yeah, so that's a great start, but really, really get intimate with God and get to know God for real. Okay, so the third thing is, while waiting, what would God have you do? While waiting, what are you supposed to be doing? Like, I talked about purpose several times on this podcast, but on the last episode, I also talked about it again because I really feel like that's important. Look, the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Y'all, there is work to be done. Real work. And God has work for us to do. Like, this is, as you are single, literally the perfect time. Yes, to have fun. Yes, to live your best life. Nobody's stopping that. Listen, have fun, but your whole life, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that working with God and building his kingdom can't be fun. It actually can be very fun and very fulfilling. But also what I am saying is there's work to be done. Like, God has something specific for you to do in this hour. And you are very, very distracted by consistently thinking, where's my man, my man, my man? I want my man, my man, my man. And that's, God is like, I don't know what you think I'm going to do with that. Because if I give him to you, now you're going to idolize him and make an idol out of him. And that's not it. Because you shall have no other God before me. I want you. I'm jealous for you. So we're not about to do that. You know, that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, there's work to be done. God has a specific purpose and a specific thing that he has for you right now in this season of your life. And it's meaningful work. He has plans that he wants to show and reveal to you. There are things that he wants to do in you and through you. But because you are so preoccupied with this one thing that you think is going to make your life better, which marriage is a beautiful thing, right? When it's done God's way, it's, you know, beautiful. But at the same time, you could also be living a beautiful life right now with God in your singleness. And working alongside him, building his kingdom. And so what would God have you do while you're here? What's the work that it will have you do? Time is short. I mean, everybody knows that at this point. I mean, we all joke around and say, God, if it's time, just tell me, right? The sky is turning orange and dust is, you know, settling everywhere. And it's looking like it's the end of the world. One day it's one thing, another. So that one day it's one thing, the next day it's another thing. It's like, God, if it's time, just tell me. And we play around with that a lot. And I believe that's because we know time is of the essence. Like, the Bible says, work while it is day, for there comes a time where no man can work. Like, there's work to be done. God has an assignment for you in this season, and you are too distracted by this desire. And that may also be delaying the very thing that you want. You may be so preoccupied with this that it's delaying the very thing that God wants to give to you. Because it may be like God has work for you to do. And while you're working, while you're, you know, God is revealing things and you're working alongside him, building his kingdom, on that journey, God may have it that you meet your person. But because you're so like preoccupied and you're so caught up and I'm going to go on, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that to meet this person. things that God did not have you assign you to do. Like some of us, okay, I'm not against dating. Don't do that. I'm not saying I'm against dating. Don't misunderstand me. Date, yes, have fun, yes. But for some of us, God may be saying, hey, I'm actually not calling you to do that right now. I want you to surrender all of that to me, and I want you to focus on what I'm calling you to do. When it's time, I'll release you. But right now, I'm calling you for such a time as this. And you are being distracted. You're getting your heart broken, crying, and then doing it all over and over and over again, asking me to bless something that I never told you to get it in the first place. So it's time for us to step back and be like, am I supposed to be in this? A lot of us may be in relationships that it's like, God never said. You know, it's so funny because I saw this like thread where people, you know, they were talking about God be so quick to answer that question. If he's not for me or she's not for me, you know, take him away. And God be quick. He like answered that question quickly. Yes, because God, the things that God would have us do, and this person is in the way. And not only that, God knows. Listen, I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. There was a while ago in my life, right? I had a list of what I wanted in a man. Like, I was like, he must be da 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 da. I met someone that was everything on that list. I mean, daggone near almost perfect. Almost, right? And I remember God telling me, he was like, if you open this door that you're trying to walk into, if you start this relationship, he's going to destroy everything that I've been doing in your life. He's going to mess things up. And I didn't want to listen because I was like, nah, that probably wasn't God talking to me. I thank God for his mercy, even though I ended up getting really hurt in the process of it. But I thank God that it eventually ended, because when it did and that whole thing ended, I saw how if I had gone deeper into that relationship and given years of my life to that individual, that not only would have been a waste of my life, of my precious time, because we think, we have this thought, we think that we are going to be alive forever. You're not. You don't know when your time's gonna be up. No one does. Now, do I pray that you are, you know, you live till you're 100 and you live seeing, you know, a beautiful, blissful life with seeing your, you know, grandchildren, all that. I pray all the good things, but the fact remains, you don't know when your time is over. Everybody is living on a limited amount of time, even till 90. You act like 90 is like, you know, forever. It's not like, you know, when you get to 90, 100, eventually you got to go. So your time is still limited. And so you want to make sure that you are making use of the time that you have, especially because you may think you're going to live till 90, and I pray that for you. But what if you don't? What if you knew that you only had 5 more years? I'm not speaking that over you. Hold on. Don't say I am, because I'm not. But I'm just, because you don't know. What if you only have 10? What if you only have 20, 25, 30? And you just wasted 5 years with somebody that God never called you to spend time with. And because you wasted time with this person, you got drugged down deep into this place, not able to do the things God has called you to do. And you wasted precious time. Now, God is a redeemer of time, and he can redeem and restore. He's good like that. But before we get there, how about you slow down and ask God, like, am I even supposed to be dating right now? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not against dating. Listen, date, honey. Date. Get to know people. Have fun. But just make sure that you're in alignment with what God will have you do. For some of us, God is saying, nah, not really. Right now, I got work for you to do. I will take care of that. Give that, surrender that to me, and I will take care of that. I will set you on the path for that. I will reveal, I will give that to you in the right time. Some of us, we're trying so hard, like, oh, I'm a, you know, I'm a get up and I'm a get ready and I'm a, you know, who knows? I walk into him at the grocery store. So I'm a, every day I'm a get up and I'm a go here. Cause I never know where I'm going to meet him. I love that thought. That's a cute thought. And that's great. Like, yes, that's true. But also God is the ultimate, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Matchmaker. Right? He's the one, literally, you can wake up in the morning and God tell you, go to Starbucks today. And you never go to Starbucks. Well, all of a sudden you have this urge to go to Starbucks. And because you've surrendered your life to God, and because you've said yes to him, and because now you're working alongside him, and you're like, God, I'm on this journey with you, whatever you say. And so you hear God, and you're just used to obeying him because you're on this journey with him. You go, and all of a sudden, you meet this person, right? Like, you never know, or you're working, doing what God tells you to do, and you meet the person while you're doing what God told you to do. You know what I'm saying? So God can absolutely set you up. You're doing all this work and God can bring you the person at the right time. You know, I'm not saying that's the way it's going to work for everybody. Don't do that. Don't. But I am saying God can do the impossible. So some of us are literally just wasting time where God is like, I got that. Give it to me. And let me show you what I have planned for you. Let me show you the work I would have you do in this hour. So some of us, I mean, it's maybe, this may not be easy to hear, but you may be delaying. You may be responsible for delaying your own singleness because you have not surrendered that to God. You keep trying in your own way, your own strength, where God is saying, give that over to me. Trust me with that and walk on this journey with me. And then 4, let God reintroduce you to you. Some of us actually don't know who we are. You actually don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. That's why you keep settling for less than what you deserve, because you don't know who you are. You don't know your identity. You don't know that you are actually royalty. Like, you hear it and you think, oh, that's some thing we say to make ourselves feel better. But we're not really royalty. And it's like, well, you know, if you really, what's that scripture? It's a scripture that talks about how we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I think it's in 1 or 2 Peter, where we talk about we're royalty, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Like, I mean, we are royalty. Come on, think about it. Think about who God is. Who is God? He is King of all kings, Lord of all lords. Who are you? His child. What does that make you? No, really, from a logical standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of us really need to know who we are. And so God wants to reveal to you and reintroduce you to you. Because some of us are settling in these relationships. You know, there's a thing on social media that says the bar is low. And for real, it really is. Because God's like, you deserve so much more than what you're settling for. And I want to show you who you are so that you no longer settle for less than my best for you. So let me introduce you to you. I've shared it before and I'll continue to share it. Like, I struggled a lot with my self-esteem. I grew up, I always heard, you're fat, you're too dark, you're too this, you're too that. Like, I always heard negative things about myself, to be honest. And so I internalized those things and I had low self-esteem because of that. And on top of that, I wasn't the girl that, you know, all the dudes went for. I mean, I just wasn't. And so I thought, oh, that must be true. That's why I'm not getting approached, because all those things that have been said about me is true. You know, I must be that. And as I got to know into relationship with God, one of the things that God taught me to pray was like, ask me to show you how I see you. Ask me for what I see when I look at you. Get ready. Pray that prayer and get ready for God to answer that. I promise you, and God is still answering that, but the amount of times I have wept at just like, yo, somebody loves me like this. Somebody sees me like this. And it's God of all the people that could ever see me in such high esteem, it's God like this. Like, I mean, I would read scriptures like Psalm 139 and it would be like reading it in 3D of God, like showing me like, this is how I feel about you. Or like Solomon, Songs of Solomon 4. Like, I mean, just scripture after scripture of God, just like, I'll read something and it'll come alive to me and it'll be like, Durr. And like, this is what I think about you. This is, and it has left me in pieces. I mean, like, whoa, that's me. You know, that was, you know, I want to talk about, you know, not to plug, but I, you know, to plug. That's where my merch came from, was just like, God, just the idea of who you are, knowing who you are, God just revealing to me, like, this is who you are. Like, you are not less, you know, you are not this low self-esteem, less than, no. And he was like, I'm calling you higher than that. This is who you are. And so now that is actually what gives me the strength to wait on God for the right individual, is that as God reveals me to me and reveals who I am in him, it makes me realize, like, I see myself better now. And because I see myself better now, I can choose wisely. Like, I don't have to settle, and I'm not going to. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to. Like, no. Like, I can choose better now. I have a better stamina to wait for God's best instead of just... Because, you know, people always say, like, you know, they're... Well, some people say, like, you know, the men out here are scarce, or whatever. They're not, like, you know, it's not that I can't get married tomorrow if I wanted to. I could get any relate. You know, it's not that. It's that. No, I want to wait on somebody that God says yes to, and God approves of, and is worthy of me. And I know that sounds like it's uppity to some people, but that's the truth. You want somebody that is worthy of you. Come on now, when you know the precious pearl, right? The Bible says they'll give you a pearl to swine. When you know the precious, precious pearl that you are, you don't just give your priceless jewels to just anybody, right? Like, if you know that you're a precious pearl, a precious jewel, you do not give yourself to just anybody, right? Because you know who you are. You see yourself now. And because you've seen yourself through God's eyes, you know, I'm not just, you got to be worthy of me. Because and it's not saying that I'm perfect, but saying God has shown me who I am. And I know that I wouldn't be able to say that about somebody else. I wouldn't be able to say I'm worthy of him and he's worthy of me. You see what I'm saying? So let God reintroduce you to you, for you to see you the right way, so that you can choose rightly. Because a lot of times I'd be wondering, I'd be like, I know people, you know, one of my things that I didn't understand, and I'm just being honest here, is when people would say, if you're not gonna treat her right, then leave her for the next man. I'm like, but leave her? Like, you are making the choice. And you are beautiful. So yes, you're going to get approached and people are going to want to get to know you because you are a beautiful, beaming, precious light, precious jewel, precious pearl. So yes, if a doll, like, you're going to get approached, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you're going to be wanted. Yes. It's your job to say yes or no. You're the one that says yes or no. Like, so I've always wondered, like, why are people like, leave, if you're not going to treat her like, then leave her alone. No, so you say no. Like, no. No. You're not, you know, I've gotten in prayer. I've asked God to reveal your heart and to reveal if you're right. I've gotten to know you and I've realized that this is not it. So no, you know what I'm saying? But like, you're able to do that instead of just like, oh my God, I'm hearing I love you for the first time. Somebody actually wants me or whatever. And so I'm just settling because I'm lonely. I'm settling. No, when you know who you are, you're able to choose different. You walk different, you act different because you now know your identity. Because God has reintroduced you to you. So let God reintroduce you to you in this season. And then lastly, reject the fear of I'm always going to be alone forever. I think that's like the core of wanting to rush and wanting to, is that fear of like, time is ticking and I want to be alone forever. That's the one the enemy likes to use to like attack us in our mind and say, see, that's never going to happen for you. You're always going to be alone. You're never going to find anybody. You know what? You got to reject that fear because first of all, God did not give us a spirit of fear. So that fear, if it's not coming from God, guess where it's coming from? The pit of hell. And we don't do that, honey. We don't believe liars. And the devil is what? A liar. So reject that fear of I'm forever gonna be alone. Just reject that, right? Just like, don't allow the enemy bully you with that fear, because that's what he's doing. He's coming to your mind, he's lying, manipulating you and bullying you with that fear, and you're believing that, and that's what's causing you to do some self-destructive things. Okay, so reject that fear of I'm forever gonna be alone. Reject that, okay? Number one, you're not alone. God is with you, okay? Number two, you have friends and family that surround you, that are with you. And if you don't, pray for them. There's nothing that God cannot provide. There's a scripture that says God sets the lonely in families. That's, I'm telling you. God is good. There's no need that he does not see, and there's no need that he does not supply. Even the need of community and family, he will give. Okay? So you're not alone. First of all, God is with you. Secondly, surround yourself with some your friends, your family. Number three, get busy doing the work God has called you to do and surrender and trust God that he will supply your needs, whatever, however that may look like, however long that may look. I'm not going to sit up here. Let me give it a thou wow, because we got to get over this. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, you know, that's a lie. You're going to end up with somebody, because I don't know that. Only God does. I don't know that. What if you don't? And what if you don't? You actually have to deal with that thought. Like, take that to God. Like, would I be okay? And if I'm not, God, and it's not saying that you're speaking that over your life. It's not saying, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, God, help me to be, to enjoy and live a fulfilling life now and continue to live a fulfilling life. And then tell God, like, this is a real desire in my heart. I don't know how this finna happen. My heart is open. I'll be dating. I'll be whatever the case may be, but I trust you with this. And I know that. And I believe you. And I'm going to, you know, continue to pray and believe you and pray about this and ask you for it. But I want to be busy doing the work that you called me to do. And I'm going to be busy, you know, like in my relationship with you, you know, all the things that we talked about, you know. But don't fall into the trap of what if I'm forever alone. That's a trap of the enemy. That's fear. That's fear. Well, okay. You believe that. Then what? You believe you're forever alone. What benefit does that do for you to now live in that fear? You've been believing that this whole time. What benefit has that brought into your life? Yeah. Nothing. You just been with raggedy old boys. Just raggedy. Dragging you up and down the street, just raggedy, right, and not treating you the way you deserve. By the way, you think that just hurts you? That hurts God too. You belong to Him. When He sees His own being mistreated, you think that doesn't hurt God? That's what I'm saying, y'all. God has feelings. You think that does not hurt Him? You think that does not break His heart to see you in pain? We're going from relationship to relationship, hoping, having a false hope that somebody is the one when that's not the one. But you holding out hope while the enemy is just introducing you to people that, you know, like, or getting in relationships that you know you're not supposed to be getting into. Like, that hurts God too. You are His. Think about a parent, right? If you're a parent, if your child hurts, you hurt, right? That's God magnified. When you hurt, He hurts. Okay, so reject the fear of forever alone. You gotta reject that. You gotta, like, take this to God, believe Him, you know, enjoy your life. And trust God with it. Wherever you may end, trust, help God, help me to be at peace where I am. Back to that contentment that we talked about in the beginning. God, this is a desire of my heart. At the right time, bring our paths. At the right, however God does it. God has many ways that He may lead you to, or whatever. Like, the, you know, so trust Him. Trust Him. I'm not saying don't date. I'm not saying, but a lot, I hear so much of people just being like, you know, if you don't do the work, it's not going to, yes, you know, go out, have fun, but just go out to have fun because you want to go out and have fun. Look cute because you want to look cute. Like, enjoy your life. You know what I'm saying? And then surrender that part to God. And when God is ready, you know, because you're dressing out, you're going out, you're having a good time, you're doing the work God has called you to do it at the right time, God will, you know, go cause your paths to meet. But reject that lie that you're forever going to be alone. You're not alone. God is with you. He surrounded you with some good friends, some good family. If you don't have that, again, the Bible says He sets the lonely in family. So He'll give that to you, you know, and then, you know, get intimate with Him, learn contentment, and learn the work that you're supposed to be doing. Let Him reintroduce you to you. Child, enjoy your life. Okay. And look, you know, our family members and friends, you know, they may question, and they probably do, but, you know, like, at the end of the day, this is your life. They are not living your life for you. I don't care if they mama, daddy, cousin, uncle, whatever. They're not living your life for you. You are. You know, so take it to God. Pray about it. Yes, do all the things, but then give it to him and continue on the path that he has you on. And for those people that are bugging, give them to him too. Say, God, deal with them because they are on my nerves. Deal with them because they are on my nerves. Like, give them peace about this too so they can leave me alone. Like, you know what I'm saying? All right, y'all. I hope that helped. I just wanted to, because this is stuff that I've learned along the way, and I'm learning and I'm practicing. And so I hope that it's brought some light and some encouragement to you. If it has, I'd love to hear all about it. On Instagram, TikTok, at Take a Shot Podcast. Also, you can share your thoughts via email, takeashotpodcast@gmail.com. Also, we got merch, so get your merch, your Who You Are merch at shoptakeashot.com. As always, I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to share it. And also, if you're listening to this on YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe. And please like, leave a comment of your favorite, you know, tip or tips that you've heard that also helped you along your journey. I'd love to hear that too. Let's share that with one another. If you're listening to this, you know, via podcast, make sure you also subscribe and leave a review, rate and review. Thank you so much again. I love you and I appreciate you. And I cannot wait to talk to you on the next episode. Bye, guys. By the thought of hanging out in public just 'cause it's a look. No, I won't pretend that I had a good time.